Okay, so for the private sector, I think what we've seen is realizing that for circular economy is to build up first, we have organizations that are looking at different areas and per sectors. So whether you're in trade and industry, whether you're in agriculture, whether you're in electronics, so that we know what works for each sector, because we can't say let's do the same thing from one sector to another. And then we have developed certain organizations within those sectors that are working with each of those sectors. If it's the manufacturing, it's how do you reuse your in the manufacturing? How do you recycle what you're using? And then how do I also, if I'm one manufacturer and have waste, how does that waste become a raw material for the next person? The same thing. Then when you come to things like agriculture, you're able to be able to say, if I have animal waste, that animal waste can be composted to be fertilizer, and that grows my plants. Then my plants can also be composted to make another compost for planting the next thing and all that, or can be made into food. The waste can become food for the animals. So you can build circular economies around each. If it is electronics, it's how do we reuse the electronics so that we're not having things like batteries that are dangerous to the environment, and so how do we dispose them right? That's one. But then also some of the electronics that we have, how do we reuse them without endangering? And again, there is the issue of the fridges. If you're going to recycle fridges, how do we ensure that the old fridges are not emitting gases that are harmful, so that we make sure that we are refurbishing them right for reuse? So each sector is different for each sector, but then that's what we are working with the different sectors to ensure that they are doing the right things in terms of recycling, refurbishment, and reuse.
And to Professor George, I'm called Sarah Natolo. I have a question for the private sector. I just want to know, how is the private sector in Kenya reacting to the implementation of the EPR? And do you think that is something that countries like Ghana can replicate?
Yeah. So what we've done for the private sector is a lot of information sharing and sensitization. So they're adopting the EPR much better because of the sensitization. And again, that's what I was mentioning, that it's good to have these policies, it's hard to good to have regulations, but when it comes to implementation, we start with sensitizing the populations that we are targeting and really educating and giving the right information. Then it becomes so much easier for implementation, for people to adopt and people to own, because also you don't want people to do because they're afraid of punishment, but you want people to own because they believe it's the right thing to do. And so that's what we've been doing a lot with the private sector.
And already, is it having any impact on your finances and your operations?
I think what we will start monitoring a lot more now. I think that we've just gone through a session of really helping the private sector to implement, to adhere to the regulations and to the rules. Then with time, impact comes much later.
Question. My name is Larry from UBSTV. You talked about job creation for the youth. Right now, we are having an unemployment crisis. And you find that this economic, circular economy can create many jobs for the youth. But you find that we have Gen Z. So they find that jobs like recycling are not that attractive. How can we make this sector more attractive to attract a larger number of this population?
One of the things that I really appreciate about the Kenyan youth is because they're innovative. So you just need to direct that innovative energy to the right things. And so if we work together as private sector, as government and other stakeholders, universities and all, is to really present these opportunities as areas of innovation. And the young people will find innovative ways to resolve the challenges that are there. If we tell them that, for example, that you can use plastics to create building blocks, they will do it because they know it is possible. When you show what the final product looks like, they will do it. Or you tell them that these plastics can be reused, they will find innovative ways of how they can reuse those plastics. So for me, I'm not worried about the Kenyan youth. Actually, I find them more ahead of the rest of us because they're very innovative. We need just to present those opportunities, make sure the policies are right, ensure that they can access funding or what we can call affordable credit, and they'll do it.
Just lastly, CEO, you talked about there's need for collective collaboration between the different players in terms of how practical is that in the Kenyan context? Do you think is the near future, that's probably a thing of the past, that's collective responsibility for every man?
Sorry, say that again, I lost something.
I'm talking about, you talked about this need for collective responsibility so that we can attack the economy issue from a collective way. How is that in the Kenyan context? Do you find challenges maybe with that collective responsibility?
I think the collective responsibility comes from if people don't understand. When people understand what you're trying to do and the impact it has for their lives, you know, and as I was finishing, I said, this is about us. It's about our lives, you know, and if we realize that this is our survival, then people have no problem, you know. And if you look at how we all operated around COVID, we knew we needed to survive, you know, and we did everything that we needed to do to survive, you know. So it's the same thing. If we realize that this is about our survival as a human race, then we will do and we'll come together and do it. And I think that's where the leadership comes in. The leadership in the private sector, the leadership in government, the leadership in development partners, universities, research institutions. That leadership is what we need to keep giving. And for me, that's what I'm excited about today, that as we sit here, we're representing all those different institutions. And we'll continue to work together and give that leadership. Then the people will come together and there will be collective responsibility and collective actions and innovations.
The circular economy, when you look at it, like a lot of women do participate in the circular economy, but then you find that they're mostly waste collectors, they occupy low level jobs. So, but we know that this one seems to be a lucrative industry. So, how are you, the private sector, helping to ensure that women are able to also reap from the benefits of the circular economy? Mm-hmm. I was speaking today to some entrepreneurs that are taking part in the circular economy sector, and some of the issues that they were putting out is high barriers to entrepreneurship. For example, they are required to pay high permit fees annually.
So the opportunities are there, and the way we are organized, at least from KEPSA side, all our sectors are very gender representative, but we also have programs that are specific for women, and especially and even women and youth. And it's looking at that, and one of the projects that we're doing and at the course is actually targeted. One is targeted to women, one is targeted to youth, because we also realize those some of those challenges that we have to have targeted programs around for the women and for the youth. You know, so we are very aware. So even as we work with all the sectors, if I talk about trade and industry, you find women there. If I talk about electronics, you find women there. But also we have to go right into the grassroots and find some of, and do certain projects that really enable these women to come up, or the youth that are not within the industries or within the companies, to be able to adopt to be able to create jobs around the circular economy. But again, I think when you talk about costs of regulations, that I think that I'll leave to the government representatives that are here, because that's where they come in. You know, and as I mentioned, we need to incentivize good behavior as we punish bad behavior. Because if you're only punishing and not incentivizing, then we don't create that that need to do right. You know, and so if we start incentivizing and saying, if you're in circular economy, some of the licenses or permits that you need to pay will be this much against the person who is polluting, who pay much more, then you incentivize more people to do the right thing. And so that's really where government comes in.
Just a quick one, still on the same thing.
Can I run?
Because I'm also sure there are
others who can...
Still on the same on women, by
okay, the last one, the last one.
Women, by
the last one.
She has talked about women, and maybe you can still add some points on this. Mm-hmm. One of the very unprecedented ILO, International Labour Organization, frameworks is that this sense of an inclusivity of women deliberately.
in the circular economy, that's the supply chain and even the management itself. How is Kenya moving ahead? And this one, I want to unpack it from the side of STEM, so that we have women who are credible and ready to serve in STEM and a circular economy as a new impact, by the way. So that we don't have the case of women are there just for gender balancing, and let us just have a women to balance kind of status and keep the record straight. How is STEM? Because STEM is coming in as a game changer. STEM is coming in as a revolutionary and very disruptive kind of topic. How is KEPSA coming in to kind of iron out and set a precedent that is very positive about STEM?
You know, that is actually Dr. Jenga's question. He's the one in the universities and all that. So pack it for him.
It is his turn.
Yeah, so please allow me to leave so that others can answer questions. Thank you.
Dr. Jenga, please note that for ease of movement, if we could go to Ms. Linda this day,
in
response from the representative of the Minister of Environment, she's very representative. After Linda, we'll go to Dr. Jenga, and then we can move to. Let's
try and keep it short. Yeah. Sure. All right.
Yes,
I have a question. Okay. Yes. My name is Johnson Kanamugire. I'm a journalist from Rwanda. I'm interested in how the Kenyan government is working with people who have initiatives in. Entrepreneurs who are venturing into the circular economy, a number of them that we've been talking with are telling you that access to finance is a problem. There are no, you know, little incentives, and whenever they are heading to financial institutions, they are treated as normal businesses. They actually don't even understand their models, and that is a constraint towards. You know, making the difference that they are seeking to make. And I would want to hear from the policy perspective, how are you, you know, making it easy for them going forward?
Okay, thank you for that question. So I will speak from the perspective of the Ministry of Environment, Climate Change and Forestry. And we know that for many years in the country, we have been utilizing the linear model of waste management, where we generate waste, and once we finish with, we generate products, and once we finish with the product, then the end place where it finds itself is the dump site. But now the government has put in place new mechanisms, new policies, and new legislations to do with sustainable waste management. In 2021, through the Sustainable Waste Management Policy, and after that Sustainable Waste Management Act, the country's policy has now shifted from the linear model to the circular model. The policy is very robust in terms of what it provides for, including the legislation, that is the Sustainable Waste Management Act. The government is also putting in place the various regulations to operationalize those acts. One of them key is the extended producer responsibility regulations. And we have had much discussions today about the various, we have four producer responsibility organizations that have already been formed by the private sector. And I might say that the private sector has already gone ahead even before the gazettement of the regulations to start complying and move towards the circular model of waste management, and government really commends the private sector for that. However, this is a journey and we're still walking the journey together with them. In terms of how the youth and other entrepreneurs can access finance, I think this is where the entrepreneurs, especially in the circular model space, what, in my opinion, they need to do is organize themselves under their various umbrella bodies, organize themselves under the while being under the private sector, and organizing themselves into various bodies, because I believe there is strength in numbers. There must be a way in which they must come together, and because of their interest, they may be able to approach the various financiers and also come up with innovative models and innovative ideas in which they will be of interest to the various financiers to come on board and support them. And there are also very many other stakeholders who are also keen to support such kind of initiatives and who offer those kind of packages. So I believe that it is only a matter of linking with the correct partners who are also interested, and that includes the NGOs, that includes the development partners, and many other partners out there, and I'm sure those opportunities may become available to them. Thank you.
Kama miaka miwili iliyopita, nini kimefanya ambazo wizara ya mazingira haijatekeleza sera hizo zianze kufanya kazi?
Okay, thank you for that question. I will respond in English because I may not know how to translate some of the English words in Kiswahili. So pardon me for that. So yes, the Extended Producer Responsibility Regulations, and I believe that's what you're asking, yes, was developed quite, in fact, through the leadership of the ministry, and of course working with these state agencies, and the main state agency being NEMA, but also with other partners and also stakeholders being brought on board, developed the Extended Producer Responsibility Regulations, which are still in draft form. However, you'll also appreciate that currently what the ministry is also doing is also revising some of its legislations. And one of the main legislations that the ministry is revising is the Framework Environmental Law in the country, which is the Environmental Management and Coordination Act. And under that act, we have various regulations. So what the ministry is currently doing is reviewing that act, but also reviewing all the other regulations so that they are also in line. There are many other regulations that are under the Environmental Management Regulations Act that also have a bearing on the extended producer responsibility organizations. Remember when the government made the pronouncement of the ban in 2017, it was through a gazette notice. The government went ahead to prepare the plastic regulations. We also have draft e-waste regulations that also have an extended producer responsibility component. The plastic regulations that I've mentioned also have an extended producer responsibility component. We have draft regulations called the waste tire regulations. They also have an extended producer responsibility organization. So in terms of harmonizing, to ensure that now all these regulations are aligned and that there is no conflict and that there is no duplication, then that meant that the extended responsibility regulations had to be aligned with all the other regulations. So that is part of the reasons why the regulations has not yet come into force. But the ministry is working around the clock for that regulation and all the other regulations, appreciating the importance that they occupy, and that that is what actually regulates our environment in the country. And sooner rather than later, we will see the regulation come into force. So it's only a matter of time. Thank you.
Some of those questions,
yes,
that I know will follow up, especially on Ikea, with a director that time.
Yes.
But allow us to go to Dr. Njenga first, because there were some questions that were asked to him first. And then we go to Dr. Ayub, who is going to address, I know, what you want to ask in follow up to Ikea.
Yes.
And then we shall.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Ayub, maybe you can maybe switch.
Doctor, before you start, the first question.
There was one on research and one on women.
So,
yeah, women in STEM. We do believe that STEM is a very fundamental part of research and probably a contributor and will be a great contributor to cyclical economy or circularity, as they call it. And what I feel is that you don't need to generally rely on STEM alone. The most important graduates of the universities right now who are investing in business may not necessarily have gone through the STEM system, but actually the social sciences plus STEM, the two work together. For instance, the CEO of Origin Fresh Limited is a woman who has built a company that's worth more than $20 million within a period of 3 years, using a circularity model in the export processing zone for avocado oil, a beautiful product for people. She has a complete circular economy within her manufacturing system. And that's because as a woman, she understands what garbage means, what unhealthy children means, how to feed her child. And most of all, I think what also made me very happy is that she started employing the street boys from the nearby villages. Now, from a research perspective, anybody who sees good returns from circularity will invest in it. But that requires research. I'll give you an example. We start with the university. It's zero rated from carbon emissions perspective. We use solar power. We use recycled water. We don't use plastics. Or rather, let me put it this way. The plastic usage is minimum. And we are reducing paper. Everything is going virtual. Classes are going virtual to a large extent. Identification is going virtual. In effect, if I am to talk about women in sustainability through circularity, which is where you want to be, because it's a matter of stopping that linear projection to greed of profits and dumping. Once you make the profits, you dump. So EPR comes into play, extended producer responsibility. After you get your profits, how much do you use to recycle that garbage? And that is the research we are doing, especially through our energy research center, our sustainability center, our natural capital center. We are in several areas, and here I will now include the other question on research. So we are at the regional level, at the ground level. We have centers with more than 50 people in Mombasa, Kisumu, Nakuru, Makueni, Isiolo, and Kilifi, Kisumu, and Busia. And we are helping small and micro and medium enterprise businesses to transform their businesses into circular economies. Because the largest population that is involved in, we can say, refuse that is not recycled, pollution of rivers, garbage uncollected, garbage emissions, which in Kenya is still small compared to the rest of the world. And when I say is small, I'm trying to make you think about war. War is the greatest and circular economy. So we can support at our basic level where we produce 10% per person here in Kenya. And of that 10%, only a small minute percent of that, which I would call 1%, is unrecyclable in our country. So how do we get these people to reduce that unrecyclable waste? How do we do it across the whole country? So we set up these centers across the country. How do we get them to understand that they can make profit from it? By first of all, doing it in the university, and then next, taking that technology to the businesses. We have done that for most of the small and micro enterprises of 6 banks. We have taken through the whole system. In Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, and now we are extending to the rest of Africa with the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. So we will do networkings around that to ensure that we pass on this idea within the economy. However, as you know, being a university, we must work with government and industry. And government and industry, that is private sector industry, must invest in the youth to come for future generations. Because if circularity is here to stay, it's because of our children and our great-grandchildren. Thank you very much. So the first thing I'd like to say is, as I am speaking, I am leading a group that has just reduced, or rather, let me not use the word reduced, summarized the entire Africa Climate Summit and Africa Climate Week. From agricultural production to energy production to getting money from those who are polluting the environment that have caused our own climate change, we are asking our money back. How are we going to do it? To youth, to indigenous people. all that we are working with our minister who has left, okay, and from there we will develop policy structures for the sake of COP28. This is where we need to go. If you want circular economy to really take precedence in the world and encourage countries to apply the laws and regulations like those you're going to ask my colleague, Dr. Ayub here, we have to take it to the highest level so that we do not export anything that is unrecyclable. We do not import things that cannot be recycled. These are the places where we need to really go. But like I told you, war is the first machinery, but I could go to many other things, all right? Cars, which in Strathmore, for instance, we are doing electronic cars. We are the first ones to have the charging machines. We were the first ones to have the public partnership with Kenya Power and Lighting for production of electricity in order that we can demonstrate, and from that came the Strathmore Energy Research Center. And we will continue doing that. But we have to send it to all the universities. If the world doesn't help us, if the region doesn't help the universities, if the industry does not come back to the universities to get this solution, then I am not too sure we are going to solve the problem, because it will be just a law without profit. And where there is a law and there is no profit, nobody will invest in that area. And in any case, you'll make higher taxes coming because of the cost of production.
Session, you can also get more insights there. And some of the speakers are also here after. So you can have another one-on-one during the other break. Sarah, kindly.
How is Kenya, as a Kenya moves towards a circular economy, how are you working to ensure that workers in the sector have decent jobs and good working conditions?
The workers?
Yeah.
Now, of course, transitioning to circular economy presents new opportunities, because we are looking at recovery of resources which were in the past being thrown away. Maybe like for waste, they were going to the dump site. And so now we turn them around to be resources, to be raw materials for recycling in order to recover the materials. And what we are doing is, if you look at our law and the policy, it emphasizes a lot on the value chain. So the waste movement, there is a segregation bit, there is the transportation bit, one area of the value chain. There is the material recovery facility, which recovers very many items. There are these guys, the waste pickers, they also have their space. And then there is the recyclers themselves. So what we have done in circular economy is expanding the value chain and providing for harnessing of the opportunities therein, so that we are able to employ more and more people into the chain. Yes, definitely. Definitely that is one of our concerns. We have tasked like the producer responsibility organizations to look at the plight of the waste pickers, so that they have decent jobs. Of course, one of the areas is payment. They need to know how much are they going to be paid, so that they don't have to come and bargain for their payment. So for every product that is subject to EPR, we have advice that we need to know how much will the waste picker be paid for collection service. And of course, we also would like to see the waste pickers also dressed properly, given provided with protective equipment, because the law says all the way speakers should be registered by the county. So there are people that are known, so you can be able to budget for them. So it's not like before where we had a lot of informality. Now they are formally known, and so we expect that they should be dressed properly. Thank you. Actually, we don't do crackdowns. Crackdowns are unpopular in our institution. And what we have now are what we call assisted compliance. So if I come to you, for example, let's say you are not a member of a producer responsibility organization. So what should I do first? I should give you an improvement notice to tell you that I've found you with this offense, correct it within this time, okay? And it is only after the lapse of the period given that I can take enforcement action. And that is not crackdown, it is assisted compliance. That is what we are doing.
Sorry, what would be?
Could fail that would move the circular economy.
Oh, move the circular economy. Okay, so first with regards to funding, absolutely we need to expand funding for solid waste management and circularity in many countries, many, many countries. Even in the United States, cities and towns are struggling with this increasing amount of plastic waste, which is why four states in the United States have passed EPR laws. We don't have it yet at the federal level for plastic packaging, but four states are already looking to that. So if you're talking about countries like Kenya or other places, our assistance, we definitely think that development assistance can be there to help with financing infrastructure, and we expect something will come out of the new agreement for these plastic treaty negotiations, but that has to be paired with domestic investment too. Kenya is not really extremely poor country. It's very rich in many resources and capacity and people, so also it's very important for every city to find what are different funding options that they can identify. It can be the private sector. I definitely think EPR will be part of that. It can also mean optimizing their systems so they're saving money. So much of the work is there just isn't the know-how to do it correctly, and so you end up using more resources than necessary. So part of it is cost savings. Part of it is finding new funding. In some of our countries, like in the Philippines, they're looking at tourist taxes to help pay for solid waste management, because the tourist industry obviously adds a lot of extra waste to cities and their burden of managing that. And your question was, what do you think could move?
It's going to kill the good baby, how of circular economy in Africa?
Well, I think things like plastic pollution have opened the eyes to so many people of the need to have more circularity in the design. And I have great hope in that the young people see this as something that is a priority. And I think, of course, circularity applies to many different things, not just to plastic, but that has been so visible that we realize that you can't deny the problem. And I think, you know, with this general awareness, then there's more young people studying, more people starting businesses, and also I think as Dr. Chenga was talking about, there is across different African countries more collaboration, and I think that is really what's helpful across policies and creating this common framework for supporting circularity. I think that will be very helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Now, you mentioned about the gender-based violence in your speech. If you can elaborate more about it and how circular economy going to reduce it. And another one is about where is the place of women in circular economy.
Well, to be honest, I was not really aware of just how serious the problem is and how closely it is related to this sector of waste management and recycling. And I don't know the specifics in Kenya, but in other countries where we work, in Asia, in South America, in the Caribbean, it has been very important to address this because women are already at the lowest part of the value chain generally. They usually don't have the jobs that have the good equipment. So, and part of overcoming that is their own attitude. You know, and if they're a victim of gender-based violence, it's very hard to overcome that. So we have had this BBEST training, which stands for Better Business Empowerment and Skills Training. And this going through this week-long training where we help pay for childcare so that the women can come to the training, they've created this cadre of women who they have people they can rely on now. They are able to talk about gender-based violence that they've experienced that they never talked about openly before. They were educated that there was a law to protect them that they weren't aware of. And that is so critical to who they are as a person that, you know, to be a successful business person, you first have to be confident as a person. And we've also given them training, for example, on how to engage with customers. That's also really important. So if you want to ask increased the fee that you're getting from their customers and things like that, they were not confident with that. So all of those the skills, business management, financial management, all of those together are helping them become more successful people as well as business people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Allow me to let Shireen join the panel. Shireen is here the whole day. She's in the EPR session, and in the afternoon we have a masterclass that they will be leading on sustainable packaging. So I'm sure from those sessions, questions will arise for you. Now we'll set up an interview corner, so anybody who has a question for Shireen, please reach out and I'll bring her up to you. All right, Shireen, please join the Siana middle room, and then finally, ask her from WWF before it goes.
Oh, there is a question.
The next week we are going to have the treaty negotiation to end plastic pollution. What are your expectations?
All right, I have them written somewhere. Do you want me to give them to you after this, or
just a brief?
Okay. The brief is one. We appreciate the draft that is in place, and we want, I think some of the areas that we have noted are maybe a small problem in Kenya or perhaps in the other countries also taking up, especially extended producer responsibility work, is laying down like step-by-step processes for how do we phase out specific kinds of plastics? How do we go about it? How do we recycle the recyclables? So for example, in Kenya, we're going to have, the law requires that all producers are going to be members of a producer responsibility organization, PRO, and there they are going to be taken through processes. They're going to be taken through steps where they're going to have to comply with the law in doing that. But at the same time, we are talking about all producers. So you see, that is going to be hard. It's like saying all of us are living through that one door at the same time. So we are going to, we are hoping that there will, we will be able to start breaking it down on how we are going to take it up, so that it doesn't seem overwhelming to listen to, and it becomes more practical.
Thank you very much.
Kwenye shirika la WWF, kuhusisha wanawake ni katika malengo makuu ya shirika. Tunajua kwamba katika, kwa sababu shirika letu ni la uhifadhi wa mazingira, na katika uhifadhi kule chini mashinani wakazi wengi ni wanawake, ambako unapata wanaume wanaenda kwa matowns, kwa masiti kufanya formal employment. So iwe ni kwenye circular economy, iwe ni kwenye uhifadhi wa misitu, iwe ni kwenye uhifadhi wa bahari, kote tunaangalia katika vile vikundi vya kijamii kuhusisha wanawake. Tunaelimisha wanaume. Ukienda sana kwenye jamii mpya, utapata kwa mfano ni beach management unit, utapata viongozi wote hapo ni wanaume. Wanawake wamekaa kule nyuma ama hawako. Sasa inafaa uelewe mambo tofauti. Kwa mfano ukienda Lamu, utapata wanawake wako kule nyuma, lakini wamesha brief wale wanaume vile watasema. So they're the ones speaking. Ni wanawake ndo wanazungumza, lakini wanaume. Lakini ukienda kwingine, wanaume wamekaa hapo na ni wao ndo wanazungumza bila kushia wanawake. Sasa tunafaa tuelewe, huwa tunajaribu kuelewa hapa kunaendelea nini na kuelimisha jamii. Kama ni jamii kwa mfano kama vile ya Kiislamu, kama vile kule pwani, wanasema kwa mfano mwanamke anafaa kuwa na haya na nini. Tunaambia ndio unaruhusiwa uwe umevaa decently, bora unaweza kuzungumza na nini. Hiyo kazi bora ni kazi yenye faida kwa jamii, inaruhusika. So tunaingiza wanawake sana kwenye kazi yetu na mikakati yetu na miradi yetu ya kuhifadhi. Yes. Mimi nimeona wanawake kwenye circular economy, natoka pwani ya Kenya, na nadhani mnajua shirika la pwani moja linaitwa nini? Kuna shirika hata representative amekuja hapa, Baustaka, ambayo director wake ni mwanamke. Katika miradi yetu ya WWF na katika miradi yetu kupitia mapartners wetu mengine, kuna nyingine tulifanya Mombasa Plastic Prize. Katika Mombasa Plastic Prize tulitisha vijana wa age ya miaka ya 18 na 25 wajihusisha katika innovations za plastic. WWF pia imeitisha sana miradi mingi vijana waje katika hizo washindane katika challenges kuonesha ubunifu kwenye plastic, innovations in plastic management. Na katika kila tukifanya miradi kama hii, tukiwa tuna shortlist, kwa mfano tunataka watu 20, tunajaribu kuweka 10 wanawake 10 wanaume. Baada hapo wako kwa same ground washindane, kwa sababu tunataka yule ambaye atakayeshinda awe ni mbunifu, sio awe ni mwanamke au awe ni mwanamume, lakini tunampatia yule mwanamke nafasi ashindane na wenzake katika level ground. Na wito wangu ni kwamba iwe ni circular economy, iwe ni uchumi aina nyingine, iwe ni biashara, iwe ni elimu, wanawake, tuko kwa serikali nzuri ya Kenya ambayo inatambua wanawake na inatambua kwamba kuna upungufu katika sekta nyingi. Kwa hivyo kukiwa na mwito, tujitoe mbele, tuitikie miito, kama ni mashindano tushindane, kama ni masomo tusome, iwe ni STEM, iwe ni social sciences.
Sub-Sahara.
Kitu tunajaribu kufanya, labda wabunifu wengine wanaweza kutuonesha zaidi, kitu tunajaribu kufanya nini? Tukipata mwanamke ambaye anafanya hii kazi, tunajaribu kumuangaza wengine wamuone. Kwa mfano kama huyo Bostaka, huyo hafanyi na shirika letu kamili, lakini wale informal waste collectors wa Mombasa, tuko na vikundi vitatu tunafanya kazi navyo. Kikundi kimoja kiko kijiji mahali kunaitwa Kisauni. Kiongozi wake ni mwanamke. na tunajaribu kumwangaza, tukua tuna habari za kwenye, tunaenda kwa television, tuko kule kwa, tuko uko mashinani, tunamuonyesha, amevaa overall yake, anafanya kazi yake. Akitoka hapo, amevaa dera lake, anarudi nyumbani. So hii kazi ikionekana kwamba mwanamke anaifanya in a way that eco decent, amevaa gloves, ameenda pale na ukota taka, anaonesha zinakwenda mahali zinapimwa, anapokea pesa, watu wataanza kuona, mwanzo pale pa kwamba anapokea pesa. Watu wataanza kuona, okay, hii si kazi ya wandazimu, hii ni kazi mtu anaweza fanya, aifanye bora. Alafu jambo lingine ni kwamba katika kuformalize hawa informal waste pickers. Si unajua Kenya saini sheria, ukiwa mtu unaokota takataka lazima ajulikane, awe yuko kwenye kikundi ambacho kinajulikana na serikali. Sasa katika hiyo formalization, pia hapo ndo unapata kuingia kwenye hivi vikundi, kupata maelezo, masomo, namna ya kufanya ile kazi ikuwe kazi ya yenye hadhi zaidi. Thank you.
Santeni. Cha kwanza ni kuangalia mkakati wa curriculum. Hiyo ni kusema ni vipi wa kule shule tunafunza watoto. Kutoka nursery, lazima wajue plastic waste ni nini. Kutoka shule, wanaweza chukua hizo mabottle top za soda ambazo wanakunywa. Watengeneze kitu kizuri cha maana. Na sio kutupatupa au kuharibu kwa jumla ardhi tuko nayo. Tusitumie plastic, hiyo unaweza funza kwa nini. Tusitumie chemicals ambazo zinaudhuru afya yetu. Tunaonyesha kwa mimea na kwa agriculture, curriculum ya agriculture vile kueneza haya mafunzo. Lakini lazima tuanze training ya walimu. Tusipofika mahali ya training ya walimu, hiyo ni teacher training college. Hapo hatutaweza kufikia mtoto hata tukitaka. Kutoka mwalimu tunaingia kwa familia. Na haya, hizo kazi mmesikia vile tunazifanya kule chini. Kwa mfano, kwa Kenya Small Business Development Centers. Hiyo ni kusema hii ni mkakati wa kusaidia watu wa biashara wadogo wadogo. Ni vipi wanaweza jua pollution ni nini? Plastic pollution ni nini? Na kama watabadilisha hiyo plastic, ni vipi watafanya kuona profit kwa biashara zao. Unajua usipowafunza hayo, hawezi badilisha namna ambavyo wanafanya biashara kule kijijini au kwa mashamba au kwa kitu chochote wanaofanya. Kitu cha tatu, ndio tutafunza mtoto na tutawafunza hapo primary school na tutawafunza kule university. Lakini kwa jumla, society, mazingira, mnaendaje? Unaweza funza mtoto haya kwa shule, akirudi nyumbani mamake anatupa chupa nje. Babake anaendesha gari, anatupa plastic nje. Sasa huyu mtoto asema hao walimu ni wajinga. Sasa tutasaidiana namna gani? Mimi vile naona ni ushirikiano na mashirika, cooperatives. Tusiporudia ma-cooperatives za zamani za Kiafrika ambazo zinashikana na sheria za kufanya biashara. Hizo shirika ziwe katikati ya community, ya mazingira ya watu kule kwa village, kule kwa town centers, estates. Hizi cooperatives ni kusema vile mwenzangu hapa amesema, watu wanazungumza, watu wanajadiliana, watu wanafunzana, watu wanatoana yale maovu wanaofanya. Tusiporudi kwa cooperatives ushirikiano, tunatapa. Sababu kila mmoja atakuwa akisimama anafikiria pesa zake. Lakini tukipata ushirikiano ya watu wenye wanafanya agriculture, kutunza ardhi, watu wenye wanafanya production and value addition kama maziwa, kuongeza maziwa au kupasteurize, kutengeneza maziwa ili yenee, kuchukua ile sijui tunahitaji ng'ombe na mbuzi ambazo zimetoa waste material kutoka nyumba, tutazibadilisha namna gani? Unasikia vile tunazungumza juu ya vile mtu anavaa kwenda ili afanye hiyo kazi ndio, lakini azijiudhuru afya, tutafanya namna gani? Mimi nafikiria tumeanza 7 counties kutengeneza hayo mashirika cooperatives, lakini kuna shirika ingine inaitwa Business Association Kenya, kama ya Kenya National Chamber of Commerce and Industries, Africa Chamber of Commerce and Industries na Global Chamber of Commerce and Industries. Hizo ndio zinaweza anzisha kuleta haya mafunzo kati ya wenye biashara. Asanteni sana. Ndio. Ndio. Ndiyo.
Labda lipi linaweza kuwa maybe a viable solution na suluhisho labda la kudumu katika haya ambayo tunaanza sasa hivi kuendelea?
Naomba urudie hiyo swali sababu.
Katika mikakati ambayo mnaweka circular economy kuhakikisha kwamba kila kitu ambacho tuko nacho tunakipatia thamani na tunakirudisha, tunakibadilisha kwa matumizi mengine, vile vile kuondoa uchafuzi wa mazingira. Labda mikakati ya ama masuluhisho ambalo litakuwa la kudumu labda kwa nyinyi mnalenga.
Sasa pengine nitajaribu kukurudishia hilo swali. Sasa maji ni mbaya? Ni mazuri, lakini unaweza recycle maji ili usitumie maji yote yenye iko kwa hiyo bustani au hiyo mazingira alafu maji ipotee. Lazima kila faktoria i recycle maji. Lakini kama ni kila estate, kila factory, kila biashara, ku recycle maji ni kitu sio rahisi sana. Inataka uwe na investment ya mashine ya ku recycle hayo maji ili yawe masafi urudie. Na hiyo ndio watu wa Amerikana, watu wa Europa huko, wa China washapata hizo mashine, lakini sisi bado. Ni vipi tutapata hizo mashini za kurecycle maji? Ushirikiano. Planning, ujenzi. Kama unajenga nyumba, kama unajenga estate, ni lazima municipality iwe na ile fikira. Yani kama vipi tutarecycle hayo plastic yenye itakuwa hapo, maji, waste material. Sababu kama Nairobi, tukiangalia vizuri, 60% ya manyumba, na hapa msinitaje kama scientist ama mathematicians, lakini nafikiri ni 60% ya manyumba hazina system ya kurecycle waste. Zimejenga mashimo, 60% of Nairobi zimejenga mashimo za waste. Macho zetu ni shimo. Kwa nini? Hakuna mtu alifikiria kule mbeleni. Hapa tukiruhusu wajenge nyumba, system ya sewerage itakuwa namna gani? System ya maji itakuwa namna gani? Security ya riparian land, hiyo ni kusema ardhi yenye iko karibu na mto, itakuwa na namna gani? Ardhi ya swamp itakuwa namna gani? Plastiki zikiingia huko, nani atatoa? Ni mashirika magani yako ndani ya mazingira ambazo zitajaribu kusafisha ili warudishe hizo waste kwa recycle system? Hizo ndio problems zetu. Na sijui ni vipi tutauliza serikali isaidie au Afrika nzima isaidie au dunia nzima, United Nations isaidie au lolote isaidie. Mimi nafikiria ni sisi wenyewe, private sector, mafamilia kwa mafamilia, village by village, town by town. Hizo shirika za kusafisha na kurecycle, hizo ndio zitaleta ujuzi wa kusafisha ardhi yetu. Tukingoja mafactories zifanye hiyo kazi, hawatafanya. Tukingoja army ibadilishe zile mashine wanatumia, tukingoja wale watu ambao wanatengeneza plastic, hizo makamera mnatumia saizi zote ni plastic, tukiwauliza warudi mpaka mahali waliuza ile kamera alafu wa recycle, ah, wale wanatengeneza solar panel, ndio solar panel iliweza kaa miaka 24, lakini baada ya miaka 24 solar panel tutaifanya nini ili irudi kwa ekonomia au tuifilize kabisa itoke kwa ardhi. Hayo maswala nafikiria private sector solution iko kwa private sector. Serikali haiwezi fanya, sababu serikali haiwezi fanya biashara, na biashara ndio inafanya watu waendelee kuproduce unrecyclable material na kuto recycle, sababu wanataka pesa nyingi, hiyo hamu ya kupata pesa. Asanteni sana, lakini sijui kama hizo ndio Kiswahili changu ni kibaya, wewe unataikana no. Kwa Kiswahili sio mimi. Naweza
fanya wanunua pia, ndio kama wengine wanataka kwenda kwa sessions, ndio tunaendelea.
What's your possible speaker? Uliongelea katika speech yako kwa nilisema kwamba industries
ndiyo. Sasa kwa mfano tuna mafaktoria kadhaa hapa industrial area Kenya, na hiyo unajua ni kwa jumla ni kila nchi. Wenye wanatengeneza ama wanauza pesticide wanaweza tumia pyrethrum, sababu ni degradable, badala ya kutumia synthetic pyrethrum kupiga umbu itoke kwa nyumba. Mwenye anatengeneza neti ya kuzuia mtoto asipate malaria, badala ya kutumia plastic anaweza tumia degradable material. Wenye wanatumia chemicals za nyumba ambazo pengine zinaweza kukupatia kansa nyumae, tuta recycle namna gani hizo paint zitumike ziwe biodegradable. Naweza kaenda kwa viatu, kwa magari, kwa nini, kuna aina nyingi za materials zenye tuna produce, watu wananunua kwa bei rahisi, watu wanapata profit, lakini inaudhuru mazingira. Tutafanya nini? Mimi nafikiria private sector, na nitarudia, unless hizo kampuni ziende kwa universities ziulize tunaweza safisha namna gani, tunaweza recycle namna gani, tunaweza tumia aina gani ya material ama reduction of emissions za carbon dioxide, au tunaweza fanya nini kubadilisha hii plastic, tunaweza tumia nini yenye inaweza ka recycle mzuri irudi kwa uchumi wa wetu, kwa uchumi wetu. We do the research ndio wapate profit. Universities lazima warudi kwa vijana, ndio vijana wajue zile problem tuko nazo. Ndio, tuna Strathmore Energy Research Center ambayo inafanya hii kazi ikitumia solar energy,